Seasons of Stories, Autumn, recorded at Bridport Youth and Community Centre. Written and narrated by Martin Maudsley and Sarah Acton, with extra bits by me, Tom Hughes.
Reconnecting with nature, whether that's the landscape, wildlife or culture, can help boost your health, mood and build self-esteem. In short, it can make you feel better and put a smile on your face too.
Bringing outside indoors is a good way to do this and to think about how life can be mirrored in nature. It can be as simple as collecting pebbles or enjoying a jar of herbs or flowers on the table. Wherever we live, we can all connect to nature by opening a window to feel the breeze, cutting a sweet ripe apple, or taking a gentle stroll at different times of the day throughout the seasons.
Any little old song will do for me. Tell it of joys gone long or joys to be. Or friendly faces best loved to see.
How can you tell when it's autumn?
Because leaves fall off trees.
I can tell when it's autumn when the air feels slightly cooler but the sun's still shining. And there's a difference in the air, like it's more crisp and the leaves are changing colours, and there's often the smell of smoke in the air, people burning things, I'm supposing, bonfires maybe, but just, yeah, the temperature drops slightly, but not as drastically as the winter. And I love it. It's a lovely feeling. It's just a bit cooler and it feels quite poetic, I think. I feel like it's like a poetic season.
It gets chillier, the leaves fall off the trees, the squirrels gather up nuts, and you might see a mushroom in the woods.
Well, we used to be able to tell it was autumn because the football season started. But now I know it's autumn because I can go down to the mill cottage and I can scrump apples from the apple tree at the bottom corner of Sue's garden. And I only have to walk about 5 or 10 yards across the lane and I'll find a blackberry bush. And then I know I've got the makings of two fine crumbles. One for now, one for later. That, and added to the fact that tomatoes are starting to turn red about a month late, the sun goes down later and the shadows get longer. And you can sit by a fire and answer questions.
When is autumn? When blackberries are bursting, ivy flowers. Evenings draw in, leaves flame a fire. All's damp and earthy, spun in spiders' webs. Stubbled fields laid bare, and the fog descends.
The harvest moon is the full moon closest to the autumn equinox, around September the 21st, when day and night are equal. It rises soon after sunset and gives harvesters valuable additional light.
Leaves fall. Come greens once full, as leaves do fall, however the growth of the tree. Come wind, then frost, as winds do blast, and so too it is for us, you and me. Come reds blazing high in canopies of fire, beside the golds and the browns. Come morning, come light, they'll lay down flat and rest on the deep forest floor. Come church bells, come peals, as leaves you and me lie beside one and all. 'Tis season's own right to carry us light. Like leaves from the old tree we fall, like leaves from the old tree we fall.
What's your favourite autumnal tree?
The one when they go brown, red and green leaves.
Mm-hmm. I really love the horse chestnut in autumn with its canopy of colour. The beautiful russets and oranges, reds and browns, and watching the leaves drift zigzagly down to the ground. Seeing those glossy reddish-brown conkers peeping out from within their spiky green husks. I love the excitement of gathering up these shiny jewels for a game of conkers or to dot them about the house to look pretty and deter spiders. I learned something new about horse chestnut. The stalks leave behind a scar on the branch shaped like a little horseshoe, and this might be the origin of its name. How good is that?
Oh, it's got to be apple trees. Old, old apple trees. One of my earliest memories is, in autumn, climbing up an apple tree and getting all tangled up, because believe it or not, I had quite a lot of curly hair then, and I'd get all tangled up in that. It was a very twiggy sort of tree, but I love them. I love Cox's orange pippins has to be my favourite. I always give them a polish on my shirt, not on this one, mine, because you get all engine oil all over it, but yeah. Apple trees, I love them in autumn.
Apples in a barrel, who's afeard the roar? Apples in a barrel, sweet cider, one and all.
Apple varieties in a Dorset orchard. Slack my girdle, golden ball. Hoary morning and buttery door. Green custards and greasy jacks. Blooded ploughman, cap of liberty pips. Never blight, Polly, Ironside's fruit, with sour Cadbury and Dorset warriors.
For cider.
For eating.
For cooking.
For crunching.
For mulching.
For heritage.
For orchards.
For keeping.
Lazy Lawrence. There was once a name that every West Country boy or girl used to know. Lazy Lawrence. Well, he's the pixie pony, the fairy horse who gallops around the orchards, guarding the apple trees and protecting their juicy treasures. Lazy by name, but not by nature. For he's as feisty and free as the wild west wind that blows through the orchards in autumn. And if anyone was ever out and about in someone else's orchard, up to no good, picking their apples, then they better beware. For if that fairy horse caught you in the glare of his green glowing eyes, you'd be spellbound, rooted to the spot, unable to move a muscle except to cry, "Lazy Lawrence, let me go, don't hold me winter and summer too." And those that follow the old ways still remember Lazy Lawrence. They leave a bucket of spring water and a little dish of apples and cream in the orchard. And sure enough in the morning, both of them are empty, with hoof prints on the ground and apples safely on the trees.
A riddle. Green as grass, and grass it's not. White as snow, and snow it's not. Red as blood, and blood it's not. Black as ink, and ink it's not. What am I? Blackberry.
Traditional folklore says that blackberries should never be picked after Michaelmas Day, the 29th of September. After this date, the devil allegedly spits on them in an act of revenge, having landed in a patch of brambles when he was expelled from heaven by St. Michael himself.
What's your favourite type of fruit jam?
Cherry jam.
Very nice. My favourite type of jam, actually, I think is damson jam. It's really nice.
It's got to be blackberry jam. I mean, I like anything with blackberries in, blackberry crumble, but yet blackberry jam has to be my favourite, apart from picking the blackberry straight off the bush, of course. And I don't tend to make jam because I'm too busy eating them straight off the bush.
The white hare. One dusky autumn evening, four farm workers were out hunting for their supper when they caught a glimpse of a pure white hare nimbling across an open field. A magical, mysterious creature, and yes, the proud hunters desperately wanted to catch such a prize. They sent two of their hunting dogs ahead to flush her out. The startled hare ran as fast as the wind, like silver lightning streaking across the green grass. She easily outdistanced the chasing dogs, but as she dashed through a gap in the hedge, another dog was waiting to pounce. A snap and a snarl, a scrabble and a squeal. The white hare was caught in the jaws of the dog and viciously flung into the air, white fur flecked with red. She landed on the top of the hedge, but managed to scramble away, slipping into the safety of the deep, dark woods. The hunters searched long and late, but eventually gave up the chase. On their way home, they passed a stone cottage on the far side of the forest. The door was ajar, and peering inside, they saw an old woman collapsed on the floor, bruised and bleeding. Three of the hunters ran, in guilt and fear, but the youngest stayed to tend and care for the old woman. When restored to health, she gently released him from his duties, but from that day on, the men vowed never to hunt a white hare ever again.
White hare, wild hare, flashing across the ridgeway. Lord, leaper love, silver windswift wan, lurching from Abbotsbury across the land. The one they chase, the one they track, from Tump's hollow hip over Stone Valley path, dancing the endless jig across the old bones of silent grassways and purple meadows.
Have you had any encounters with wild animals in your garden or neighbourhood?
Only dead ones that my cat has brought in.
That's a good one.
Squirrels, deers and foxes. And owls.
What happened with the squirrel?
It went up a tree. And then it starts picking nuts off of the tree.
Yes, I have. Billy No Mates. Billy No Mates is a rabbit. He comes into our garden occasionally, maybe once a week. He doesn't eat anything that you'd want him to eat. He doesn't eat anything that you don't want him to eat, but he is on his own. There's no Billy No Mates 2. There's no Bob No Mates. He is solo. He's lonely. We've never seen him with anybody else. We've seen Billy No Mates sunbathing in the village green. He's coming to our garden and he's eating the grass and he seems to be the best behaved rabbit that there is, the little brown fella. And that's about as wild as it gets in our garden, apart from the two woodpeckers that come in and raid all the bird food that you put out for all the little brown jobs.
Autumn is a time when spiders sometimes creep into our homes. According to one old tradition, placing conkers in cupboards keeps them away. But other folklore says that a spider entering the house brings prosperity. What do you think?
North winds blow cold, cleansing the soul. South winds blow warm, the green returns. East winds blow knowing, a place of growing. West winds blow to the end, where all water wends.
Several British folktales tell of wind knots, a rope with three tied knots given to sailors by witches or wise women. The sailors untied them at sea to summon the wind, but were told never to undo the last one, for it would unleash a terrible tempest.
And the ocean waves did roll, and the stormy winds did blow, and we jolly sailors were up, up above, and the landlubbers lying down below, 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 with the landlubbers lying down below. It was on a Friday morning when we set sail, and our ship not far from the land, when a fair pretty mermaid we did espy, with a comb and a glass in her hand. And the ocean waves did roll,
And the stormy winds did blow, and we jolly sailors were up, up above, with the landlubbers lying down below, 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 with the landlubbers lying down below.
What is blown or carried on the wind?
Well, change in the weather and circumstances. And the wind always comes out the southwest here, which means there's rain on the way. Often means the sunshine is finishing, which is bad news. That's what the wind brings. It could fill your sails, I suppose, if you were a sailor. It could turn the windmills. And thinking of that, the wind is the future, isn't it, really? Because turbines are going to be filled with wind and provide the whole country one day with electricity. Really, that's got to be the case. And then we'll no longer need to sit by fires, as I'm doing now, to enjoy some heat.
Well, with the nights drawing in, it's the smell of smoke. And you don't get it as much as you used to, but people do still light their stoves and open fires. And I love that sort of cosy sort of smell. So that carries on the wind. But also, I think that ideas and thoughts get carried on the wind as well. And I think it was Paul McCartney said that he felt like all his song ideas came to him on the wind, on the air, like they were just hanging around waiting for him to just catch them. And I feel like I get all my good ideas from the wind as well.
Oh, and have you had any good ideas lately, Ray?
Well, it hasn't been that windy lately, has it?
No, I suppose not.
The traveller. A knock on the door in the dusky haze. Candles shiver and we stand amazed. For who would call by here so late? Friends, open the door, an old man says. We stay by the hearth. Faith, open it up, mother agrees, throwing back locks, turning iron keys. For who would call by here so dark? Friends, open up, will you? An old man barks. We stay by the hearth. The door creaks open, a chill wind raised, blowing leaves behind the old clock case. Now who would come by this lonely place? There's no one outside, but a thin voice remains. You were right to stay by the hearth, my friends. It's nothing, says Pa, the door tight again. But to hear that voice we quietly strain. For who would call by here so dark? And what of his body, the rest of his parts? We stay by the hearth.
Fireside gifts. In the old days, the little people were always busy helping on the farm, tweaking the leaf buds, wrestling with weeds, opening the ears of corn and ripening the apples in the orchard. Grateful for their help, our ancestors respected the fair folk. They followed the old traditions and left them gifts of gratitude, the last sheaf of wheat from the fields, a cup of freshly picked blackberries, an apple left hanging on every tree in the orchard. They baked little fairy cakes and placed them by the fireplace with a thimble of cream and an eggshell of frothing beer.
A fire riddle. On earth, this great warrior is wonderfully formed of two dumb creatures, brightly burst forth, useful to all. Enemies use him to fight each other, and strong though he is, any woman can hold him. He obeys well, serves quietly, that is, to any who tend him properly and feed him fairly. To these he brings comfort, makes life better. But if anyone lets him grow too proud, there's only grim reward.
How does sitting around a flickering fire make you feel?
Warm and happy and hot.
I really love it, actually. It makes me feel very relaxed and like putting the world to rights for some reason. I think I associate having fires with close friends and talking the night away with a bottle of wine. So
31st of October is Nutcrack Night. Two hazelnuts I threw into the flame, and to each nut I gave a sweetheart's name.
Souling at Samhain. We make soul cakes, soul singing for the gone. We offer soul cakes for loved ones not with us. We go a souling at Samhain each year, under the great yews, and we deliver your prayers.
Old Tom lived his whole life on the same farm where he was born and raised. By the time he retired, he had a sheepdog that was still young and willing to work. One day, the eager dog found its way to a neighbouring farmer who was more than happy to make use of a four-legged helper. Old Tom agreed his neighbour could keep the dog, even though he knew he'd miss her company. Several years went by until one misty autumn morning, Old Tom heard a familiar barking sound outside. Opening the back door, he saw his old dog wagging her tail. And she stayed all that day and followed him around the garden. And then, just before dusk, she dashed away across the fields. That evening, Old Tom called his neighbour to check the dog had returned safely. And there was a silence on the other end of the line for a moment. "I'm sorry, Tom. Your old dog died just 2 days ago." Well, after that, Old Tom often told this tale of the faithful ghosts who came to say goodbye.
The fox went out on a chilly night, prayed for the moon to give him light, had many a mile to go that night before he reached the town, oh. Town, oh, town, oh, many a mile to go that night before he reached the town, oh. He ran till he came to a great big pen where the ducks and the geese were kept therein. Said a couple of you gonna grease my chin before I leave this town, oh. Town, oh, town, oh, a couple of you gonna grease my chin before I leave this town, oh. He grabbed the grey goose by the neck, threw a duck across his back. He didn't mind that quack, quack, quack on the legs all dangling down, oh. Down, oh, down, oh. He didn't mind the quack, 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 and the legs all dangling down, oh. Well, old mother flipper-flopper jumped out of bed. Out of the window she cocked her head, crying, John, John, the grey goose is gone. Fox is on the town, oh. Town, oh, town, oh. John, John, the grey goose is gone, and the fox is on the town, oh. Well, the fox, he came to his cosy den. There were the little ones, 8, 9, 10, saying, Daddy, Daddy, better go back again, cos it must be a mighty fine town, oh. Town, oh, town, oh. Daddy, Daddy, better go back again, cos it must be a mighty fine town, oh. Well, the fox and his wife, without any strife, cut up the goose with a carving knife. They never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh. Bones, oh, bones, oh. They never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh.
The Fox Woman. One day a woodcutter was returning home to his cabin in the woods where he lived alone. Suddenly he froze as he saw smoke rising up from the chimney. Someone else was inside his own house. As he gently opened the door, a delicious smell of simmering stew wafted out. And there, standing by the fire, was a young woman with thick auburn red hair falling down across her shoulders. The woman said she would stay with him as his wife as long as she could keep her fox skin coat hanging inside the house. The two of them lived happily together for a while. Eventually, however, the scent of the fox skin began to bother the woodcutter. Sometimes, especially in autumn, it had a strong, pungent, musky odour that was almost unbearable. And then one morning, in a fit of agitation, he grabbed the fox skin and threw it out of the cabin. His wife ran outside, picked up her coat from the ground and pulled it around her. And in that moment she transformed into a fox, her twitching tail disappearing into the leafy forest. and he never saw his fox wife again.
Reynard the Fox. An evening it was as I walked out all on the hillsides dark, when I overheard that sweet young girl talking to the sly fox, Reynard. She gave him her most bashful looks. He soon put her at her ease. He cut a dash in a cape and boots and a cap of soft silk velveteen. "Dear sir, I pray you let me pass," she bravely managed to say. "A lone girl as I dare not tarry here in the Dimpsey Wood this day." He said, "Pray calm your sweetest face. I'd have passed by now, by my word. How about you be guest at my nearby palace, where Reynard is master and lord?" The blush, enough to seal her fate, she followed that fox copper tail and disappeared into the greenwood night and was never seen again.
A blessing.
May the sun bring you energy in the morning.
May the moon keep you company at night.
May the rain wash away all your worries.
And the wind blow strength into your bones.
This recording was embellished with the generous spoken word contributions of local people, as well as the field recordings of contributors to the freesound.org website. For a full list of credits, please visit www.picnicintheparks.org.uk. Thank you.